He is one of America's prominent sports commentators and columnists,
known for his fearless opinions and passionate dialogue.
I know, it's sad, but the best sports conversation has absolutely nothing to do with sports.
He has perfected the Daily Sports Podcast, having produced hundreds of topical, credible shows without even a hint of fake news.
No filters, no mute buttons, no BS, just me and whatever the hell I feel like talking about.
He has done 1,700 TV shows, written 8,000 columns, broadcast hundreds of talk shows, published a book.
He has covered every major sports event nationally and worldwide.
And yet, we still can't shut him up.
The ceiling is the roof.
And now from Los Angeles, inside his studio by the Pacific Ocean,
where he plans on hanging out with a beer immediately after this podcast is recorded.
Oh, man.
Here he is, Jay Mariotti.
The show is unmuted. I'm Jay in Los Angeles. And before anybody waxes too romantically about upsets and mid-majors and chalk block and the new Sister Jean and the new Maryland Baltimore County, know this about March Madness. It is gambling debauchery, a wagering bacchanal in which nearly, get this, 50 million Americans will bet a collective $8.5 billion on the NCAA tournament. And even with the ballyhooed advent of legal gambling, most of the wagers are still going to be placed illegally. If you think that little office pool is harmless, you'd better know this. In 37 of 50 states, as long as there's some sort of financial payout at the end, that's also illegal. So if the winner in your office is that wildly guessing receptionist who doesn't know Gardner Webb from Zion Williamson, she just might be handcuffed and busted and taken away.
All you need to know about sports today in 15 minutes, or maybe 18, you know, depending on the Warriors, the Steelers, Trump, and the LeBron James Media Network.
So this is the grandest tribute I can pay to Mike Trout, who just signed the richest deal in the history of professional team sports. He is worth more than $432 million, much more, in fact, perhaps even a cool billion when we project what he'll continue to accomplish as an all-time baseball unicorn and what the market might continue to bear over the next 12 years. And you know what's even crazier than that? I haven't heard a soul say that Mike Trout is not worth the money. This sounds ass backwards, but the consensus is that Trout somehow has been ripped off, that the richest athlete ever to walk planet Earth also somehow is the biggest bargain. Yes, he will continue to play in Anaheim, which is a setback for baseball, and that his marketing impact won't be maximized the way it would have been in New York or Philadelphia. But maybe Mike Trout is as smart as he is gifted. Who wants cold nights and insane fans and all that media pressure when he can have 75 and sunny and minimal media down in the OC? That said, he'd better win, or else he might become the Ken Griffey Jr. of his era. I don't want to place the burden on Trout yet. It hasn't been his fault that he has not done anything in the postseason. But at some point, Ken Griffey Jr. did not reach the World Series, and he's haunted by that to this day. Barry Bonds, tainted by steroids. He has that same October issue. You don't want to be Mike Trout with that October cloud, but he's only 27. He has time. You don't think the great Mookie Betts, who says he's content to wait for free agency rather than re-up right now with the Red Sox, won't be saying, hey, I've won a World Series, when Betts explores the market late next year? Now, true to his quiet ways publicly, Trout did not speak to the media the day after his jackpot, preferring to joke with his Angels teammates about whether he can take a live fish on a plane. Obviously, if that fish is a trout, the fish can do what it pleases. The public generally is sick of big money discussions in sports, tired of the NBA megalomania and the absurd bundles thrown at a-holes such as Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor, with Floyd actually grossing, I guess, more than Trout with those $450 million he cashed in for six Showtime fights. But remember, Floyd is not a team sport athlete. That's why Trout distinguishes himself in that manner. There is a differentiation here. But the beauty of Mike Trout is that he's complaint-proof somehow, viewed by the masses as precisely the right athlete and the right human being to have a mega deal of such magnitude. $36 million a year through the year 2030. I don't even know if this world will exist in 2020, much less 2030. He'll be 39 then, and I'd say he'll still be pretty damn good. He'll still have that crew cut going. He is the greatest ball player of his generation, if not any generation, with a career WAR, that's wins above replacement, that's no longer a nerdy metric, but very realistic and valid. That number, 64.7, higher than Bryce Harper and Manny Machado combined. Trout is very humble. That's what I love about him. No trace of ego. Never has found himself in the slightest bit of trouble off the field. He married his high school sweetheart. He goes home to South Jersey in the offseason to fish and hunt and hang out at his old high school. Is this guy real? Is Trout a cyborg sent down by the sporting gods as a gift in a landscape of so many jerks and clowns in sports? The fact he did re-up with the Angels in sleepy and media chill Orange County for a $360 million extension tacked on to the $70 million already owed him in a package that could have been at least a half billion somewhere else after the 2020 season tells us that Trout wasn't about over-the-top greed, and he didn't want that maddening free agent circus that led to Harper's $330 million deal and Machado's $300 million deal. By the way, here was Harper on the Trout deal, which topped his contract by almost $100 million.
For me, it's, you know, I got the contract I wanted. You know, I got the length that I wanted and, you know, all the money and things like that. I got more money than, you know, I'll know what to do with it. So, you know, for me, I got the length I wanted. I got the contract that I wanted. I got the, you know, the team that I wanted and the ownership that trusted in me. For me, once I knew Trout was going to sign, it's inevitable. You know, he was going to be the highest paid player in the game in all of sports. So, you know, I'm very happy for him.
Is the superstar signings good for stability of the game, do you think, Bryce?
Yeah, I mean, you think if any other guy can, you know, really do that and stick with, you know, one team for his whole career, like I said to him, you know, it has to work on both sides. You know, and the Angels were able to make that happen. You know, Colorado was able to make that happen there in Arenado. And, you know, when you're able to do that, it's special. When you're able to, you know, spend it with one team, it's very special. So, you know, it's good for, you know, each organization. It's good for the game to be able to get a guy like that, a superstar player like that, the amount of money he got. And, you know, he's very deserving of it.
Trout just wants to play ball, something he does so well and with the perfect attitude, the very face baseball needs, and probably will continue to squander away as it tries to remain relevant in a football, basketball, and soccer world. The only flaw here for Trout, he is so averse to self-promotion. America hardly knows him. And when baseball commissioner Rob Manfred tweaked him last summer for not doing more commercials, Trout was not happy and probably will not be doing more commercials just despite Manfred. He wants to be left alone in Anaheim, California. It's his life, man. He has produced on the field like few athletes in the history of the world. So tough, Rob Manfred. He can do what he wants. And if he wants to play ball and go home, good for him. Think about it. Do we really have to know more about Mike Trout than we already do? And that we're so tired of LeBron James because he's overexposed? And we're often disappointed anyway that athletes are different in their private lives than their polished images would indicate. Hello, Tiger Woods. I'm not picking on Tiger. 10 years ago, that was a fact about Tiger Woods. Not picking on him anymore, actually. I'm rooting for Tiger. That was a Mariotti aside. Can't we just admire Trout's all-around gifts and admire that he didn't need to rake in some insane mega market jackpot with the Yankees or with his home region Phillies in Philadelphia, where Harper had been openly recruiting Trout, which only angered the Angels and their team owner, Arte Moreno, who finally realized he'd better ante up or go down in infamy as the owner who allowed Trout to get away. Trout dearly wanted to stay in Anaheim, and he got a full no-trade clause with no opt-outs. Yet, sweet as life is in Laguna Beach, and nice as it is to deal with just a few beat writers instead of dozens of media in New York, Trout does burn to win in October, where he has been only once in his career, swept away in three games. And now that he is committed to the Angels, it's up to Moreno and general manager Billy Epler to get Trout to a World Series. Moreno, long overshadowed by the blue blood Dodgers in this market, has spent big in the past. He was burned by the Josh Hamilton deal and even the Albert Pujols deal. Pujols signing for $240 million after his 30th birthday. That's too late to give a guy a long-term deal. Trout only 27. Perfect timing. Give the owner credit for realizing the Angels would have died in their aging ballpark if he didn't produce this historic deal for Trout. And now with the likes of two-way phenom Shohei Ohtani, shortstop Wiz Antrelton Simmons, and prized prospects Joe Adell and Griffin Canning, the Angels do have a nucleus of some sort. They need starting pitching badly, and Moreno cannot stop spending now. He can weaken the divisional rivals, the powerhouse Astros, by signing Justin Verlander or Gerrit Cole in free agency next winter. There is a much larger story here, of course. How does Trout's contract, which came after the monster deals for Harper, Machado, and Nolan Arenado, play into baseball's troubled labor outlook? What four owners have shown in Anaheim, Philadelphia, San Diego, and Denver, of all places, is that they're willing to break away from the colluders and the tankers to reward the biggest stars with monster deals while they're still in their 20s. But baseball also has created a massive financial gulf between the staggeringly paid elite and the next level of available talent, including very good position players and pitchers, Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell among them, who are either lowballed or not pursued at all. Every vote counts as one before a potential labor impasse, and while owners will point to the additional $1.3 billion committed to only four players this offseason, the rank-and-file union members will say the salary structure is front-loaded and set up to make the next level of free agents take low ball hits. And that is a fact. Even the mighty Alex Bregman in Houston seemed to settle when he accepted a six-year, $100 million extension from the Astros. That will take him to his age 30 season as owners build a moat between big offers to stars in their 20s and lower offers to those in their 30s. And while Manfred has begun very early talks with the players' union, there remains a fair chance of a crippling strike or lockout in 2021, with signs of MLB's waning popularity evident in the fact that Disney is having a very hard time unloading those 22 regional sports networks, most of which feature what? The 162-game local baseball inventory that was once so valuable. Now Disney can't dump it. But you know what's also special about Mike Trout? He is so magnificent and breathtaking, he'll divert our attention away from the labor headaches. Baseball doesn't deserve this blessing. And you remember Giancarlo Stanton, who used to have the biggest contract in pro sports history? Here's what he had to say about Trout.
Man, good for him. Crazy. Yeah, that's insane. And he's definitely buying if we're going to dinner.
Hell, Mike Trout can buy for the entire world. One dinner for everybody on planet Earth. In an era dominated by the Warriors, the NBA's best rivalry is what it was back in yesteryear, the Celtics and the 76ers. And finally, the Sixers have figured out how to actually beat Boston, riding a huge game from Joel Embiid, a big fourth quarter from Jimmy Butler, and a clutch bucket from Ben Simmons to win at home. The Sixers do have the studs to win the Eastern Conference, and like the Celtics, it's a matter of cohesion, chemistry. While the Celtics continue to ebb and flow, the Sixers have won six straight as the East-leading Bucks. Deal with injuries. And how fascinating to see Kyrie Irving, the prima donna behind Boston's internal issues this season, have a late shot blocked by Embiid and then watched Butler nail the dagger jumper over him as he was on the floor doing something. Way to go, Kyrie. This provides a larger cushion in the East standings and distances Philly from a first-round playoff matchup with Boston, with the Celtics likely to draw gritty Indiana. And this latest installment was marred by a low blow when Boston's Marcus Smart, who else, was ejected for shoving Embiid to the floor. And that could have created an earthquake in Philadelphia because Embiid is a big man. Embiid did remain in the game even though he elbowed Smart to initiate that shove. And Embiid finished with 37 and 22. Here was Joel afterward. Humble as always.
First of all, I'm glad we got the win. Second of all, this is one of the best defensive players in the league. And third of all, I've been hearing that these guys can guard me better than anybody else, so I just had to come out there and show that I'm the most unstoppable player in the league.
The Celtics, who had won 10 of 12 over Philly since the start of last season, have been trash-talking the Sixers, with Terry Rozier saying this about Embiid on Fox Sports 1.
First word that comes to mind when I say Joel Embiid.
Lame.
Why is that?
Just do a lot of talking.
Oh.
I respect his on-court game. Just do a lot of talking.
Do you talk trash, though?
I wouldn't say I talk trash. Back in my day, I used to talk a lot of trash.
Okay.
But now I just, you know, I try to go out there and get the job done. But if you say something to me, I won't stop.
For now, the Celtics have been silenced as the calls for an Anthony Davis trade this summer grow louder. Never underestimate the squirrely nature of prosecutors. In the case of Robert Kraft and charges that he solicited prostitution in an illicit Florida massage parlor filled with sex slaves, they are giving the New England Patriots owner a plea deal. They'll drop the charges against Kraft and 24 other men as long as, ready, they acknowledge that they would have been proved guilty at trial. Some deal, huh? It's a compromise made for the 21st century when dropped charges wouldn't mean nearly as much in the court of public opinion as the acknowledgement of ultimate guilt. But while Kraft is inclined right now to say F you to all of them and keep fighting and try to suppress video evidence, this is where we see who has the biggest legal schlong. Maybe Kraft has the clout to win that game in Florida, but if he loses the videotapes of his two alleged sex acts, those rub and tugs in Jupiter, might go public, and that would embarrass Kraft for the rest of his life, embarrass his family, embarrass a lot of people. If the charges are dropped, wouldn't Kraft then be able to tell his longtime Patriots nemesis, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, that there would be nothing to hang him on in terms of a league suspension, maybe? But then Goodell can do whatever he wants, right? Goodell couldn't possibly bend to that theory, especially if Kraft were to agree, yes, I would have been found guilty in a courtroom. Well, then Goodell just says, Bob, you admitted you would have been guilty in a courtroom, so I'm going to suspend you. Goodell has to suspend Kraft. There are all sorts of owners in the NFL sitting there wondering what Roger is going to do to Kraft. Yes, Roger nailed Tom Brady. Yes, he nailed Bill Belichick. But what will he do to the powerful Bob Kraft? A lot of us waiting for that answer. The Players Association as well, expecting a lengthy suspension and a whopper fine. They, you know, think that Kraft as a prominent owner should be held to higher conduct standards than the players. Plus, the NFL is dealing with 60 organizations and 19 survivors of sexual abuse, all urging Goodell to ban Kraft if he indeed is found guilty. But is Kraft guilty if the charges are dropped? My God, is this complex, and it doesn't have to be. If he's guilty, he's guilty. Prosecute him. Kraft should just lay low, accept a six-game suspension, although I think it should be a season-long suspension. I think they might fine him $500,000, maybe $1 million. And then he should spend a couple of months drinking wine and staring at those six Super Bowl trophies and then coming back and winning one more or something and then retiring and let his son handle the whole thing. Given the sex trafficking component of this case, I think Kraft should realize he's very lucky they're not asking him for jail time. What continues to jazz us about March Madness, even as the FBI exposes the continuing corruption of college basketball, is the rise of unheralded darling programs who topple the one percenters in the sport. In that vein, I don't hesitate chanting, "Go Anteaters!" That's UC Irvine. Though many of the Blue Bloods continue to cheat, they are more vulnerable than ever before to stunning uprisings, and don't you love it? Last season, we had the Stop Everything You're Doing shock of Maryland, Baltimore County shaming Virginia, the first ever instance of a number 16 seed beating a number one. We also had 99-year-old Sister Jean dominating the month with Loyola of Chicago, which wasn't such an anomaly as the seventh team in the last 8 years to reach the Final Four after being seeded seventh or lower. That's why some people are touting Wofford this year. Nobody even knows where Wofford is. Okay, I did some homework. Spartanburg, South Carolina, 10 minutes away from whose home? Boyhood home. Zion Williamson. Who offered Zion a college scholarship at age 15? Wofford. Which gym did Williamson attend when he watched college games? Wofford's gym. He loves Wofford. But, you know, I think in the course of history, I will say, this is a Mariotti aside because I want to. Steph Curry did go to Davidson, which is, in effect, Wofford. But Steph Curry, coming out of high school, weighed about 145 pounds. In Zion, last year, basically 6'7", 285, this Range Rover barreling at you down the road. Last year in high school, just as we see now. So a tad different here. Wofford and Davidson and Steph Curry and Zion. So that was a Mariotti aside. In that vein, sorry to disappoint anybody, but this year I'm going with blue blood chalk. Duke, Virginia, Kentucky, Michigan. But then I also had Arizona going to the Final Four last year before the Wildcats and DeAndre Ayton allegedly offered $100,000 by Coach Sean Miller in a conversation caught on that FBI wiretap, lost to Buffalo. Now, Buffalo, the Bulls, are a sixth seed. And some people are picking them to reach the Sweet 16, maybe even the Final Four. Let's not go too far here. The Bulls say they want to be the next Gonzaga, once a mid-major underdog itself before becoming big boys up there in Spokane and reaching 21 straight NCAA tournaments in their small gym conference with a coach, Mark Few, who rejected bigger jobs to protect his kingdom at a school with no football team. And that's an important distinction, no football team. It's all about hoops at Gonzaga. I do have my stash of possible Final Four interlopers, I'll say them quietly, Iowa State, Utah State. And what's great about that is nobody will remember that I even mentioned them if they do lose, and they are going to lose. But hey, you know, I can pull that back in a couple weeks and say, hey, I whispered Iowa State. So let's see if Charles Barkley can get through the weekend without angering college basketball aficionados. Ever since Turner and CBS started using Chuck on March Madness 8 years ago, he has been known for his factual screw-ups and malaprops, not knowing the college game the way he does the NBA. But Barkley says he has done more homework this year, and that's nice of him, and he claims to have watched more than 100 college games this season. And who knows, might he actually know how to pronounce Gonzaga rather than Gonzaga, as he was saying last year. And to those who criticize him, Barkley said this to the Washington Post, quote, "You know what they should do? They should just kiss my ass and thank me for the $1 billion we pay for this tournament," end quote, Chuck. Chuck doesn't pay a penny of that. That's Turner and CBS. Charles thinks cheating and payoffs never will end in college hoops, and he is right about that.
Like I say, other than LeBron James, I've never seen a player who was ready for the NBA after high school. As great as Kobe was and Kevin Garnett, those guys struggled their first few years. People forget that. And those are Hall of Famers. Some of these other guys who are going pro can't play dead, and y'all know it. The game has changed, man. These guys are so sensitive today.
Of course, as long as Barkley is issuing hot takes, he will expose himself to shots about his affinity for hotcakes. Here was Syracuse coach Jim Boeheim comparing Zion to Barkley as a player?
Williamson's just, he's hard to handle. I mean, we've got a decent 7'2 defender, 6'9", 6'6", two big guards, and we're trying to get back in there on him and make him change. And he throws some stuff up that's hard. It goes in really hard. And then when he goes outside and makes those, I mean, that's hard to do. It's hard to defend him. He's a physical specimen. He's like Charles Barkley was, except he shoots better than Charles did. And he's not as fat. So.
Now it's time for the Buzz, our deep dive into sports and life. Chris joins the program. Chris, though we have talked often about the Mike Trout years being wasted in Anaheim, Trout obviously loves the Southern California lifestyle and the concept of loyalty, signing the richest contract in team sports history with the Angels. I know you're a lifelong Angelino, but I have to ask you this. Was this a loss for Major League Baseball that Trout continues to play in Anaheim rather than on the East Coast, where the media exposure and TV ratings would have been much bigger for Trout? And what does it say when the Dodgers, who cashed in on an $8 billion TV deal, refused to pay even a $100 million deal when Angels owner Arte Moreno shells out $432 million for Mike Trout alone? I've got a lot of questions there. Go ahead, shoot.
It's a loss for baseball that Trout continues to play in Anaheim, and West Anaheim is going to build a team around Mike Trout. And $432 million, that's great. But where's the ball club? Tell me, how many playoff games has Mike Trout been in? How many playoff games has Bryce Harper been in? I find it amazing that baseball has allowed this to happen, where these guys are getting so much more money than you could ever imagine. And they're not guys that are on championship teams. The story of the Houston Astros, the story of the Boston Red Sox in the 2000s. Yeah, you have stars, but really $432 million? It's a little insane for a guy that's never won anything. And I think been in the one playoff series in his career. He's a tremendous baseball player. But even hearing him speak, I mean, how many times have we heard the guy speak? It's really interesting. For the Dodgers haven't coughed up the money, but they've also been to the World Series 2 years in a row. So what is it that you guys want? Like, as from fandom. Personally, and I'm sort of a Dodgers fan, you know, I'm not really a baseball fan anymore, thanks to the strike in 94 when I was a kid. But I'd like to win a World Series. I don't care that the guy who hits amazing home runs in April and May and June is nowhere to be found in September and October, Jay.
And Chris, will you be partaking in March Madness gambling? I don't know if you're a gambler or not, but you can tell me right here. I won't tell anybody. And Chris, does it surprise you to know that office pools are illegal if they involve a payoff to a winner? You'd better, in your day job, inform your boss of that.
No sports gambling for me, Jay. I'll do a bracket just for entertainment purposes, and Duke always wins in my bracket. And I didn't know that about office pools. I guess it doesn't surprise me, but it's amazing that so many offices around the country these 2 days are breaking the law, Jay. Somebody round them up, right? Nah, let's not do that.
And finally, Chris, should Charles Barkley be doing college basketball analysis?
I love Chuck. You know this. But you got to not try to have him do analysis of things he doesn't know. Just let him be a character. Let him comment on what he's seeing. Let him comment on the nachos he's eating during the game when he's not on TV. That, to me, is far more entertaining than him trying to break down Gonzaga or the Maryland offense or, you know, St. John's, although St. John's isn't in now since they lost. But still, you get what I'm saying, Jay.
Okay, thanks, Chris, which brings us to quickies, which are just that quick. It's open season on Ben Roethlisberger, who has been targeted as a tyrant by Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell after they forced their way out of Pittsburgh. Each said that Roethlisberger, who has won 2 Super Bowls, plays favorites in terms of which offensive weapons get the football. All I know is, for being so unappreciated, Brown became an all-pro and a very rich man while catching balls from Big Ben, and Bell touched the ball 406 times in 2017 while also becoming a very rich man. So both of these guys can shut up and enjoy losing with the Raiders and the Jets while Big Ben makes Pro Bowlers and rich men out of a new set of skill position players. No NFL player has been fined more since 2012 than linebacker Vontaze Burfict, a cheap shot fiend who has been suspended for the start of the last three NFL seasons. One ban was for a helmet-to-helmet hit on Antonio Brown in the postseason. So, of course, John Gruden brings the two together for more disarray with football's most chaotic team, the Oakland, eventually Vegas Raiders. Somebody remind Gruden that he has to do more than entertain and grab headlines. He'd better win sometime in the next 9 years during his 10-year, $100 million deal that still might be remembered as the dumbest contract in NFL history. Meanwhile, the LA Rams continued to revamp an excellent defense that limited the Patriots to one late touchdown in the Super Bowl, signing Clay Matthews in his very long hair and hoping he reclaims some semblance of his Pro Bowl form. Will he? The Rams also have signed Eric Weddle and re-upped Dante Fowler, but they aren't bringing back Ndamukong Suh, Mark Barron, or LaMarcus Joyner. I do like it. It shows me that the Rams are ticked off about the Super Bowl loss. They want to get back there and win it this time. Today, I drove past their new stadium. It's not close to being done, just saying. And as the worst season of LeBron James' professional life comes to a bloody ending, here's another insult for the dethroned king to deal with. It comes from none other than Kobe Bryant, whose status as a beloved Lakers legend is safe, while James seems like a cheap rental in L.A. Kobe was asked to name his all-time U.S. Olympic basketball team. You know what he said? Quote, "I'd go Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Hakeem Olajuwon, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar." No LeBron. I can't get through a day without a LeBron James insult. I really tried, but this is Kobe Bryant. He's dissing LeBron. He didn't put himself there. He could have, but he didn't put LeBron there. Diss! As for the talk of Doc Rivers joining good friend Magic Johnson with the Lakers, well, Doc is way too smart for that nonsense, having heard that LeBron has no interest in being coached at the twilight of his career. Not that this prima donna ever has been adaptable to being coached ever. That comes from Michael Wilbon of ESPN. As the Lakers continue to swirl and disarray even with LeBron, Rivers has a much better situation with LA's premier NBA team, the Clippers. And owner Steve Ballmer and Rivers have worked out a long-term extension that puts the franchise in position now to add Kawhi Leonard and another major free agent to a core put together by Lawrence Frank and the logo Jerry West. Here was Rivers.
"Just so you'll never talk about this for a while, let me end this right now. Magic Johnson and I are very close friends, as you know, and that's what we are. We're good friends. I have great respect for him. But the whole history of everything is Steve Ballmer and I have had a great relationship. And, you know, this summer we decided to extend my contract, and he did something, and I'm going to throw this out because I just think it's worth saying because it tells you a lot about Steve. He did something that I don't think any owner would do. He gave me an out where I could opt out this summer if I wanted to. You know, it was like we wanted to test each other, make sure that we thought this was the right fit. We thought everything would work right, but we wanted to make sure. And as my dad said, you know, trust everybody but cut the cards, you know. So it was one of those things. And then early in this year, we both decided let's end this thing, take this out and extend and make it a longer deal.
Luke Walton soon will take the blame for Johnson's mistakes with a pink slip. And now we're hearing, this could be fake news, that Magic will go after John Calipari. I think Cal would be wise to stay at Kentucky unless he wants to be fired in L.A. by LeBron in 2 years.
And now a final Mariotti commentary too hot for ESPN, too smart for the internet, and too white male for Jemele Hill. Take it away, Jay.
I'm not here to pick on Stephen A. Smith, but I am here to issue some friendly professional advice. Stephen A., you are overworking yourself, my man, and if you keep making unforgivable factual mistakes, your work ethic will be counterproductive and perhaps shorten your career. I'm speaking from experience. I used to be that sports media workaholic, TV show to column to radio show to airport to hotel to 5 a.m. wake-up call to conference call over and over, days and months and years, and then you wake up one day and said, what the F was I doing? And in a cutthroat, desperate industry filled with envious weenie colleagues, nobody will feel sorry for you, Stephen A., when you do screw up, as Smith has done often in recent months, including this doozy the other day.
Jeff Passan, having said all of that, we look at other individuals. A Mike Socha, for example, entering his 19th season as the manager for this ball club. Does a contract like Mike Trout apply more pressure to somebody like him to turn things around, or else Marina's going to move in a different direction?
Well, Socha is gone, actually. Brad Ausmus is the manager.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I totally forgot about that. I can't believe I forgot about that, because Mike Socha was one of my favorite guys. No problem.
There's a lot of shuffling going on during...
Now, maybe if Stephen A. didn't have a daily TV show and a daily radio show and regular SportsCenter duties and frequent boxing appearances and an obsession with being at all the events coast to coast, maybe he'd know that Mike Socha no longer manages the Angels. I do applaud his ESPN sidekick Jeff Passan for not ridiculing him during that segment, but somebody else might have gone right after Stephen A. That's how vicious sports media people are. It's a lot of bad people in this business, and Stephen A. is a good man. That's why I'm doing this commentary. There are so many assholes who run these rogue websites who live on Stephen A. making a mistake. I just want to make it clear, that's not the context of why I'm doing this. I'm trying to help him today. He has taken a lot of crap through the years because he has the courage of his convictions in an industry of sellouts, softballers, politicians, dick lickers, you name it. I don't want Stephen A. to be removed from the air because he's error prone, when in truth he's exhausted and he needs to take a two-month vacation to a private island. But you know what's next. He knows what's next. The NBA playoffs. That's his wheelhouse. Is it time to carry him out of a studio in a straitjacket and put him in a rubber room? I only say that half-kiddingly. That's our show. For our producer and editor, Chris, I am Jay, reminding you to never, ever let anybody mute you in life.